Going to start the recording, so if anybody has a problem being recorded, you can stay silent. All right, today at the use case realization call for May 27, we are going to be presenting the configuration personalized service project. And I had opened up and invited directly people who had responded in the TSC or essentially who had raised questions when we first presented the project on April 10. We have a number of people working on the project here with us on the call. So that's good. And if nothing else, you know, we can point them to the recording if they weren't able to attend. I have had some people respond, like Catherine has accepted as well, for example. So, you know, there we are having another meeting tomorrow. At 7 a.m. Yeah, USA Eastern Standard Time and 11 a.m. UTC time. Okay. So I think I'm just gonna, this will probably take a fair amount of time, so I'm just gonna get started here. Okay, so many of you, I think, I see on the call, many of you are probably pretty familiar with the project already, but I will just go over an overview, and Joanne and Tony and Twain and others, you can, you know, who've worked on this, you can jump in as I speak. Okay, so this is the configuration persistency service. It's a real-time new platform component that's designed to serve as a data repository for runtime data that needs to be persistent. it's designed to be a standalone component and to provide data layer services to other ONAP platform components and use cases that require persistent configuration or operational data. It was originally kind of kicked off in R3, but under a use case, and now we're extending it to be a full project is what we're trying to do. So the basic idea of the project is that it provides a data layer service, and it has a database within it to basically store network element data and to be able to allow things to access and manage the network element data. There are 35 databases in ONAP, of which I've colored these yellow. But primarily, it's meant to allow microservices that need to work with network element data to store and read and write and manage data. Of course, in order to do that, data can come in from various sources. For example, PNFs through the VES event and DCE can send information into the database. SO and the controllers, they do things, can also send information in. And of course, we have to sync with ANAI as new network elements come in and appear and disappear. the database, the CNPS database needs to be aware of that. Joanne or Twain or Tony, did you want to add anything to what I said? Or Ted?
Nope, not at this point.
Okay. So this just shows basically one of the pathways that information might come into the database. So the PNF can send a standards defined VES event into the VES event DCA VES collector. And that information, piece of information goes across the DMAP bus. And in R6, we're part of CCSDK. So of course the listener in the SDNC would listen to that. But as a standalone project, the CNPS would have its own listener and could listen for this kind of message off of the DMAP bus and would update itself. So similarly, the ANAI, when additions or deletions happen, or right when we're first setting up the database, of course, there's a get all function, and that get all function allows the database to get all of the information from ANAI to set up the initial review of what elements exist in LNAP. And similarly, again, it can get updates as ANAI publishes updates, it can update and sync. And finally, and probably most importantly, a microservice that needs to update information, and we'll talk more about this later, can read and write information. They're actually the owner of the data and are using the CNPS database to store information to it. And in various cases where basically some SO policy or control loop has determined a parameter needs to be updated, eventually that kind of trickles down to the controller. The controller can send back information to the PNF through some change config update or across netconf or O1. Controller basically sends a parameter update to an XNF. and then simultaneously, it may also need to read or update information coming across to the database to make sure that, or, you know, depending on what it wants to do, it may need to sync or look at information. Okay, and then this is just showing basically the a view in R7. There's slightly different behavior, of course, because in R6 we're again, part of CCSDK, whereas in R7 we're a standalone component. Okay, so we presented this the project itself on April 10, and maybe I should at this point briefly step us into the actual project proposal so you can see it really quick. And we'll go over it in detail, but I'll just show it to you. Let me see. Here. So the team, and it was really a fantastic group effort from a lot of people. We have a lot of leads here, Tony and Joanne, myself and Twayne, all worked for months, about a half a year to come up with this project proposal. So it describes the, it gives you an overview of what it is, what its purpose is to store network element information, and some of its eventual functions that it does, and some of the things I just described to read and write and publish information, to track other kinds of information, and to perform and to expose database type functions eventually. We did also present 5 times at the architecture subcommittee, and we'll present again after the TSC again. And their recommendation actually was to spin this off as a separate project, and so we started off with their blessing. And then we just go into some basic concepts and principles. I won't get into all of these details. you can look at those later. But I will point you to some of the roadmap. And let me just, this is actually one of those
I think it's worth pointing out as well. Yeah. Sorry, Ben.
Sure.
I think it's worth pointing out as well, as you have many times, that the project proposal is a vision for the entire project. It's not a per release thing. It's something that is meant to span multiple releases. And this was one of the confusions that we had several times as people saw this and they thought maybe we were trying to take it all on in the R7 release, and that's not the case. This is where we see the thing going over time. This is the capabilities that we see developing over time, not necessarily in the R7 timeframe.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And actually, that's just a good, great segue into what I was about to show. So one of the questions that we got was essentially the roadmap and evolution. And we wanted to make sure that people were cognizant that we aren't trying to develop everything all at once that you see in the project proposal. But if you look at other project proposals, it of course describes the entire project proposal as Tony just mentioned over time. And here we want to show that, you know, we're just doing a simple read and write in the first release. So I actually have that as one of my slides coming up, so we'll see that in a second. Okay. So what we did was we held a lot of meetings, and we looked at every question that came from the TSC during the review on April 10, and we thought about every one of these questions in detail. And then we noticed there were kind of categories of questions that could kind of clump together. So what we did was we kind of categorized those questions together, and we said there's really kind of 9 basic ideas here that people are asking about. Number one is, you know, are we violating any kind of basic principle of how to design an ONAP? Number two, there's already this concept in SO about this runtime catalog, and does it overlap that concept? And what Tony just mentioned, how much are you going to do and in what release, and are you trying to do it all at once? Are there concerns, or have you thought about performance and latency? Why not just extend ANEI? I mean, ANEI essentially also has a database within it, and it has all this database technology and traversal and topology and management and so forth. Why not just reuse that or extend that? Are you creating some single unified mega monster database and ONAP? Do you have enough resources to make this happen? And will it be supported in the long run? And why not just continue with what you have in R6? Why spin off from the R6 CCSDK solution? And finally, why not just use COTS IT DBMS? So we'll talk about each one of these. We have dedicated slides for each one of these. So for the microservices principle distributed versus central solution, Christoph Opasiak asks, doesn't it violate one of the basic microservice architecture principles? To which we sort of have three categories of answers. The data that is shared across microservices, so I have a picture of here, where there are numerous cases where actually data needs to be shared across microservices, and it's really actually kind of vital to that they have access to the same data without to prevent like race conditions. There are cases where there are multiple producers and a common microservice that has multiple consumers. And also the concept of storage versus ownership is important to mention here. The CMPS database is just meant to store information. It doesn't actually own that information, but rather the microservice is the owner of that information. So Tony or Joanne or Twain, did you want to add anything? I'll ask at the end of each question now to see if you guys want to add anything to what I said.
So Ben, the question was the name. That's the person asking a question for this?
Yes, Christoph Opasiak. There was okay. One, there was essentially, there might have been a couple of people kind of talking about it, but basically I think Trevor Lovett had a similar kind of question, but this is directly Christoph's question, yeah. And I invited him to both the calls, so he might show up tomorrow too. So we're probably going to give this exact same presentation tomorrow because, you know, we basically said we'd hold a one-off pre-meeting with people. So, okay. The second question was from Sashu, the PTLFSO. He asked, can the runtime catalog be used as the CMPS? And Yuri helped us respond. He basically said, well, the runtime catalog is just an idea. It doesn't exist yet. It's basically a notion that he described it for us. It's a notion that each system ingesting Tosca can have their own local database so that the ONAP platform component doesn't have to have its own database. In other words, consolidating the ONAP management data, you know, all those yellow databases that I showed in the picture above, kind of grouping that together into a database, I think was the idea behind this runtime catalog. So in principle, it's kind of similar, except of course, the main difference is that we're focusing on network element data, the objective of the CMPS project is not to replace the, you know, all these various databases. Once it's built, of course, if a platform component decided to use it for that, they could, of course. But, you know, here's an example of we'll see this in later slides too. I won't dwell on the OFPCI example, but here's an example of a use case that wants to store information in that doesn't really belong in the ONAP management data, and that's really one of the main drivers behind this work.
So Ben, just want to add something, right? For the catalog, right, the catalog data come from modeling. So that works, it is static. So work CNPS is a sync up network. It's a real-time network configuration information as a dynamic. So that's the key difference. You should probably need to emphasize all the time the real-time dynamic configuration information in the CNPIs.
Right, thank you, John. That's a very good point.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so as Tony pointed out earlier, there were a couple of questions that end It became obvious also as we were thinking and talking about the questions that there were some people, I think, that saw the project proposal as we're trying to do all of what's in the project proposal all at once. And so it seems far larger to, especially to try to accomplish in one release than what we're really trying to achieve. The team drew this roadmap and discussed this roadmap to show that basically in R7, what we're really trying to do is just lay the really basic groundwork of CMPS functionality, that is to be able to basically just store configuration data, real-time configuration data, as Sean pointed out, update that data, so read and write the data, and perhaps do some simple access control, like, you know, this particular thing has access to, or that owns that piece of data, to be able to tag it, essentially. So we do have a few use cases that are using that, and I have some slides we'll be talking about that. So then other more advanced functions will come later, and these aren't set in stone, so they may change. But in Honolulu, data recovery and model adaptation perhaps is the next step. Kyoto is the K release, right? So R8, R9, you know, we'll be introducing more advanced things, auditing, traversal, rollback, and some of the other things discussed in the project proposal. Okay, the fourth question was related to performance and latency. So there was some kind of astute questions about what's the performance of this database? What are the maximum number of queries that can be supported, and concurrency and the size of queries? some of the fears were that we might overwhelm ONAP's capabilities, and would ONAP be sufficient to handle the load essentially posed by the CMPS activity. Another one was kind of related to latency, how the data is exposed, and if there are things that depend on that data, is latency an issue, and the overhead in messaging and things. So these are definitely things that we have thought about. So we have a section in the project proposal about performance and latency. And I think some of these things will be more apparent as we come to implement things. And we've marked those as things that need further actual hard numbers. But I think we anticipate that in the early, and certainly in the Guilin release, that the couple of use cases that are using it and the tiny sets of data they're actually working with shouldn't pose a latency or performance issue at first. And once we have a solution initially in place, I think we'll be able to understand those numbers better. Tony or Joanne or Tony, did you want to add anything? Or Ted?
I'm thinking, maybe we can ask if they just say existing database, just say NAI, do we know what is the latency and the performance for NAI? Who asked the question?
This question came from Pamela and Catherine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pamela and Bradosh and Catherine were asking about latency.
So Tony, let's say you develop the database. Whatever NAI has, just say assume NAI has some latency. CNPIs will be similar to NAI, or can we say that? Or we have to ask what is the performance latency about NAI? Tony?
I don't know, I think that comes down to the different use cases. So first of all, the use cases will drive the required latencies. So if you have infrequent small volume requests, then you can probably deal with latency, quite long latencies. But if your use case is high throughput, high volume, such as taking change events via encoded as VES events off a DMAP channel, then your latency is, your requirements are a little bit more stringent. And then depending on the use case, so if you're, say, a SON OOF PCI, you want to see, well, how long does it take for a notification emitted from the network, from the XNF, to be visible in the CMPS. Again, that's a use case requirement that we have to actually deal with. So we get to play a part in the latency, but we're not the whole story. So we will obviously do things as fast as we can. And depending on the types of use cases that we have to support, that will obviously dictate what we do internally to some extent.
Okay, so then that's the answer.
I think that's a good answer. Yeah. And I've updated a sentence to that. Yeah, I think that's kind of what we should say. Okay, so the next question came from a couple of people. Why not just extend ANAI to store network element configuration data instead of just ONAP management platform data? So the answer, there's a number of different answers that are that address this concern. But probably the most important is that, you know, the scope and purpose of the CMPS project, it's the mantra and the charter and the reason why we're making this database is specifically to store information that doesn't belong in inventory. So it's specifically meant to store non-inventory information. So conceptually, it's meant to store information that's not inventory information. So if you think about inventory, I mean, there's a separation of concerns here. So items related to networks and relationships and the storage of inventory information, the purpose of that is to basically tell you this element exists or not and to kind of keep track of its presence. So that's what ANAI's purpose is. It's meant to be a real-time view of what elements are in the network. Whereas CMPS is, as John points out, is a real-time view of network element information, which is a different purpose. Future-proofing the CMPS is likely to grow as networks grow and scale in a similar way. And it's decentralized deployment of storage of network element information. And you might, if you're familiar with cloud architectures, there's the edge RAN type architectures. And then finally, dynamic schema. These dynamic schemas allow the CMPS to adapt to non-predefined information, whereas ANAI is more generally has a fixed schema. Okay. Any other thoughts from anybody on this topic? Okay. The next concern was mostly from Catherine, but a couple other people too, about are we creating a monster database? And I think part of this just came about because maybe the initial view of how we presented things, we just didn't maybe think about it until the questions came in. And it became clear that we should have emphasized that we're not trying to consolidate all of the database, all the 35 databases in ONAP. The scope and purpose of the CMPS project is to address and cover a current gap in ONAP. It needs to store real-time network element related information that's intentionally aimed at supporting various use cases and is never intended to consolidate all of the 35 separate ONAP platform component databases. That was never the purpose of the project. Of course, if by choice that some platform component wished to store some data, data in it, that's fine. We're not precluding that, but that's not the main purpose of the project. So again, I think it's important to emphasize that the SO, APC, DCA, policy, etc., they all have their own databases, and we're not meant to eliminate those, but rather we're creating a place to store real-time network element data. Any thoughts from anybody? Okay, and the next question, 7, was when we originally proposed the project proposal, we only had two committers there, and there's a lot more now on the project page. So we do wanna point out that there are many companies committed to this project. Nokia, Ericsson, Bell Canada, Wipro, AT&T have all contributed resources, and actually I should probably put in this. Have all contributed the resources or to working on requirements, architectures, proposal, data flow, component descriptions to lay the groundwork for the development to begin. There are talks and use cases, and Bell Canada has presented in a project for state management information. Multiple use cases have an interest, and we are also at the beginning of the project, so it's important to note that as we get rolling, we'll have more identified resources as time moves on. Okay, the 8th question is, why don't we just continue what we did in R6, the solution that we have in CCSDK? Why don't we just take that and just expand that, and why, you know, why split off as a separate project? Well, probably one of the biggest reasons is architecturally, we were given direction from the architecture subcommittee to that, and the recommendation was that CNPS should be its own separate component. So the ability to ingest SDC service CSAR packages from design time, receive notifications directly from DMAP, and independently set up the internal database. These are all reasons why it was viewed as a good idea to have this as a separate component.
And that architecture direction was the focus, very much the focus of many of those architectural presentations. Is exactly where should this thing be honed in ONAP.
Yeah, exactly, right. So as R6 rolled on, we needed to show something, and we had to have some solution in place. So the CCSDK solution at the onset was meant to be a temporary solution and was never intended to be the permanent solution. We kind of see it as a kludge, but we needed to support various use cases and projects already underway. We want to demonstrate something and to be able to support the programs that were that needed to store data immediately without having to invent something different. And it kind of extended the R3 work, the MariaDB work that the OSLAN PCI use case had already started. So we had basically, Ted and others had worked to make that a potential temporary solution so that, and we engaged Dan Timoney and others to help us out, just so that we could demonstrate that we have something working. So the architectural design to be a data services layer to allow other components, or in particular microservices, to access real-time network element information. And we didn't want too much dependence on CCSDK for persistence. that's one of the subset of, maybe it's kind of like 1A or 1B, this is kind of an architectural concern. And Vimal pointed out that eventually as this project grows, we didn't want to overload the Dan Timoney as CCSDK, but rather have a dedicated personnel in PTL to direct the work. Okay, I'm gonna actually, there's a couple of new people that joined the call, let me just capture for it. Okay, let's see. So the 9th and last question is, why not just use the IT, an IT database management system directly. Why not just use a COTS off-the-shelf solution? So, yeah, maybe that was another piece of miscommunication. I think it's important to, to note that the the CMPS will have at its core, it will have one or more extant databases, and those will be COTS database solutions. Examples are Postgres, Cassandra, MariaDB. but as Tony pointed out when we first discussed this question, I mean, there are essentially CMPS has value added on top of just a generic database solution, and we'll be able to tailor a unique API and operation to fit the needs of ONET microservices. So in terms of an API, a telecom-ready API with uniform interfaces ready for ONAP plugins, being model-driven to integrate design time activities from SDC, synchronization with topology and real-time operations, as Joanne points out, with network functions of PNS and VNS and ANS and CNS. So the ability for CMPS to really sync with network functions that ONAP cares about are things that we'll be adding on top of these generic database solutions. Okay, I'll stop there for a minute. Tony or Joanne or Toyn, did you want to add anything?
No, I think you covered it quite well then.
And did anybody else have any general question on any of these 9 questions that came out from the TSC?
Or questions on the answers?
Yeah, or questions on the answers, yeah. Anybody?
I have a question for those who are on the call. Do you think that these answers are, would you be happy with these answers had you asked those questions?
So the,
yes, I think so. But then maybe I know a little bit more of the background. Some people who might ask the same questions.
Fair enough. Thanks, John.
Yeah. Joanne, did you want to say something?
Yeah. I think it would be nice if you have the Frankfurt release or the each release. You have the picture. You draw the 3 release. You can put into your slide. Will be help you to see what you have in your presentation. Yeah,
So let me move on then. So I think I also wanted to show basically some of the actual uses, and I think as people see how the CMPS is going to be used in R7, it will give them a better view of CMPS. I think that's I think that will be helpful. So what I have, and actually I need to add, I have forgotten to it, is there's also the state management. So we wanted to show basically some of the usages of CMPS, and I think that again it would help people visualize how CMPS is used and what and why it's there and how it's different than some of the other platform component storage solutions. So we'll be talking about 5 different ones. One is the model-driven CMPS. Another, again, started in R3, the O of SOM PCI 5G use case, and then network slicing 5G use case, the mobility standards A1 adapter, enhancements coming in R7, and then the state management POC. So the first is model-driven CMPS. Tony, do you want to walk us through this one?
Sure. I mean, this is how we see the CMPS. Starting at the bottom, we have starting at the bottom, we have a GraphDB. We see a lot of the telecom data as represented in this graph. So we see a GraphDB as a type of technology that we'd like to explore, but with persistent plugins, because we also think that there's room for polyglot persistence for things like time series databases, as well as relational databases, as well as graph databases. That config and persistency service should be pulling from a model service, because we want this whole thing to be model driven. So we need some kind of a model tool chain to help us understand what the models are and how to use them and how to get applications to interpret data that is then stored in a model driven way in the persistence. Sitting on top of that, then we have CEM functions where there may be some additional value add that provide a different look and feel or some convenience APIs and functions for a class of data. That is our primary goal right now, is the CEM data that comes from the XNS. And then above that, we have applications. I'm not sure if I did quite justice to Kieran's slide, but fair enough, I've talked. Questions. This is a very, very high level view of where the configuration and persistency service fits in to and interacts with other components in ONAP. And then in green at the bottom, we have the use cases that have been looked at, in some of them in the OR7 timeframe, some of them in the OR6 timeframe. So we need an API, we need an SPI to interact with the database management system to get topology. We need to sync from ANAI. We need somehow to get our models in at runtime. So we have this MD schema, this model-driven schema, which is an input into the configuration and parameter service, configuration and persistency service, apologies. And then we have the mirroring function, which is to take the VES events via DCAE and DMAP, and then to update the persistence store. So these are areas where there's work required. And then if you click on, I hope there's a next slide. Yeah. It's not a doctor schema.
So I didn't take every slide. I just took some of the super high level overview slides of each of the use cases, because there's several use cases we're talking about here. So.
Okay. Yeah, that looks fine. So in terms of the Ericsson POC, we see the model driven as very, very central to this. And that's something that we want to accelerate and make sure that we get right. So we want to do a POC in this space with a view to getting that code in very early into the configuration and parameter service to make sure that any interfaces that are created are aware or are model driven aware. So that we don't have a huge migration task going forward. But that would be one of the main drivers for focusing on that first.
This SNPI, what's the SPI?
Oh, it's a service provider interface. So it's like an API, except it's an interface that provides an abstraction to something. So we expect that abstraction to be met, the CPS expects to invoke against a known interface. And that known interface is the SPI, which then abstracts away the details of how you would talk to an individual database management system.
Got it. And I assume this down here is like a PNF or VNF or something, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You're making my slides much better. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted there are some things that I just need to know what they were, so in case stumble. Okay. All right. Great. Any questions for Tony? So I think the main message out of this is that, you know, it's a way to take data that's model driven and streamline the operation of CNPS to take that information that it needs to work with, so that it's more model driven and I think more template oriented and less susceptible to human error, right? Okay, good.
Yeah, it's basically a context diagram for configuration and persistency service with areas where work is required.
I kind of goofed this up, but anyway. Okay, I'll fix it later. Okay, the next one deals with...
Tony?
Yeah, go ahead.
The picture, right? I just take a look, close look today. For the CNPS, right, you have a direct update from the NAI instead of go to the SDNC. So SDNC will be talking to the SNI.
I didn't put SDNC in here, but I have absolutely no objections to what that sync component is, whether we use, I mean, to get information from ANAI. Had imagined that's a fairly small component because you're just invoking a REST endpoint to get information from ANAI. And then we would probably want a very simple subscription because we do need some identifiers to relate the CN data to individual XNF instances. So if that XNF instance is removed, then we want to have the subscription trigger a delete operation on all the object instances that we would have, all the roles that relate to that XNF, because ANAI is, to my mind, meant to be the master of that inventory. I don't think in ONAP there's any other master for inventory than ANAI. As to why would I see it as a fairly simple thing. I don't see the need to put a dependency on the controllers to do that.
So Tony, right? The NAI for the SDNs for the CNPS, right? It is collect the PNF information, right? The PNF information initial loading to the CNPS. I'm trying to say we wouldn't go to the initial loading, even though in the future sync up, wouldn't go through the SDNs. What is the purpose of SYNC?
I think, as I understand it, Joanne, basically this is just the simple ANAI. If you look at its Swagger API definitions, I mean, there are two basic functions. From any ANAI, you can get all, which is getting all of this information, and the other is an atomic get. So we remember when we met with Jimmy Forsyth.
Synchronization. SYNC. Okay, all right.
This is like the get all function and the get update function. So so is this meant to be?
Yes, exactly.
And
I was thinking read the SDNC. Okay.
I have a quick question here.
Sure.
Because CPIs are storing a different set of information or data from the AI. So I don't know what get all. Get all means get all of the PNF entry or the PNF entry, right?
ANAI provides some, I can point you to the Swagger in ANAI where you can explore that. But basically, ANAI has a function that says, tell me all of your network elements that you know about. And that's that get all function.
Okay.
There's also another one that tells you, let me know of updates. So that's what it's trying to do.
Okay, so the other second question is the CPIs through the API CRUD to the mirroring wise. So I'm thinking this is kind of initial synchronization with the PNF. So maybe it's not.
It can be initial. I mean, this is a diagram to try and show the context. It's not meant to be 100% accurate. I mean, we're very, very early at this stage.
Yeah, so I understood.
You are absolutely correct. There's two parts to this. One is an initial sync. And then there is the second aspect of it, which is how do you maintain that synchronized state over time using the spontaneous notifications that come from the XNF. preferably, but not always, in the VES events, in VES format.
Okay, so you're trying to say mirroring, including both the initial sync up with the PNF plus maybe later mirroring with the, any events come from the VES. Is that what you're trying to say?
Really, what you could take this, these green boxes pointing to the API as being CPS is expected to participate in these use cases.
So,
and don't read it as too much more than that.
Okay, all right.
So the I have the Ben, right?
Yeah.
The synchronization get all. I just want to maybe we have clarification. You wouldn't let people think about other full sync or get all the API data. We only need to get all for the PNF information. Otherwise, say we are duplicating right. We only get PNF.
Yes, exactly. It's only the information that we need to uniquely identify an XNF.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't limit it to just PNFs. I think it's XNFs and data. But so we need to be able to uniquely identify XNFs.
Yeah.
So that we can react to changes in the topology in the inventory. So if something is removed, we should remove any CN data that relates to that.
So another thing, right, Tony, like this API to the VES mirror. This is just similar to you will get something, I will assume you get it from the SDNC for the configure that, for the NetCon YAN information from network elements from your mirror VES, right, in here?
I do have that down somewhere else, but not necessarily in this slide, because as Ben said, he took us on setup. And I see two ways in which the models may be added to the configuration persistency service, and I only have one of them drawn here to keep the diagram nice and simple. So the first one that I've shown is where the STC would unpack a CSAR or make available the CSAR through design activity on the event on the DMAP bus, and then we would pick that up and deploy the schemas that were relevant, or the YANG models, the models that are relevant to the CNPS. The second mechanism would be where a controller or some other UNAP component was talking directly to an XNF that had been upgraded or had its software package deployed. Now, some of those XNFs, in particular the NetConf ones, have the ability to negotiate and provide models in YANG that describe what they are, describe what their configuration is. And that is a second mechanism that would allow you to be able to push or make the CNPS aware that there was a new model in the system that it needed to be aware of. There's other ways too, but these are the kind of things that we need to talk to the architecture team and the modeling subcommittee about, because you're getting into the nitty-gritty detail here, because
Tony, I would say it would be good for you, a high level, wouldn't go detail, right? High level one from the feeding modeling driven, right? The one, you come from NetCon YAN. I didn't see from NetCon YAN components, you chew that information. I think you need to somehow show the picture, maybe mirror imaging here. If somehow you're sticking like a SNF or PNF information through NetCon YAN to the CNPS. You put some box in here, right?
Yeah, and again, it's down to what you're attempting to get across here. And I just wanted for people who weren't familiar with CNPS to get a flavor of where it was sitting inside ONAP, of how it was being used and what use cases it was participating in. It wasn't ever meant to be 100% anatomically correct.
Yeah, we probably eventually need to do that, but it's certainly
not. No, we absolutely do have to do that. And with nice V4 diagrams and the architecture page and and blow it down and blow it up and decompose it to the point where we can say, well, these are the microservices that we're creating, these are the interfaces that we want between the components. All those things have to happen.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yep. But
I still think the mirroring with the bracket wise, maybe just need to remove the bracket, just remove the wise. Maybe I didn't get it. So the mirroring, I think just remove the wise. I don't think can mirror you from wise somewhere, unless I meet something.
Mirroring XNS, mirroring XNS CM data.
Yeah, that's small.
Yeah, that's better, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. So moving on to the next use case. So of course, maybe I should probably have led with OSAM PCI. This is sort of our provenance, right? This is how it all started. OF is one of the optimization framework components of ONAP, SUN, self-optimized networks, has three major concepts: self-organization, self-configuration, and self-healing. And this falls into the self-configuration piece of SUN. And PCI, physical cell identifier management, there's only 512 PCI values in 5G and less than 4G. And basically, you have to make sure that those PCI values are not overlapping or conflict, and to be able to resolve those conflicts. So this whole use case is essentially about managing these 2,000 simulated cells in a network, so that as new cells come on board, that the PCI value assignments are efficiently done. So bottom line is they need to know about cells and keep track of cells and keep track of PCI values and neighbor lists and what cells are next to what other cells. And this is an application of basically network element data that would be stored in CNPS. So they had to demonstrate something in R3 and then in R4 extending, and they're continuing their work in R7. So they're adapting or will be using the CNPS solution to store their data. So that's something that we've been tightly coupled to, and also one of the main reasons why we needed a solution in CCSDK 8. There needed to be some solution in R6 for this use case. Next, also, end-to-end network slicing in R3 started as basically on R2 and R3 as just pure modeling efforts, just more of a study. And then in R4, they started doing a little bit more. And then in R6, in R7, they're trying to, there's actually quite a bit of software that's being put in to try to set up slices, and there's work on modeling for the 3GPP 28.541 network 5G NRM model. So I've seen them on a lot of calls. They have a weekly call to discuss all their project and where they're going. So broadly, their efforts can be split into two major areas. One is RAN slicing, and another is core slicing. So the work that needs to be done to manage a RAN and all of the stuff to link that up with the core type stuff. So they're going to be developing APIs and hitting a number of different components. And they've also mentioned that they'll need to use CNPS to store information. They've also been on the modeling call to use and describe the 5G NRM model. So in the 3GPP standards, there are actually recommended slice modeling that should be used. And of course, that encompasses a lot of parameters and details that need to be stored somewhere. So I guess I could show that, but we only have a few minutes left. So, but if you're interested in there is a spreadsheet that I have on the wiki for the 5G service modeling that you can see the band slice model. And you can also look up the 3GPP TS28.541 to get an idea of the objects and that they would need to manage. Okay, the A1 extension policy. So there's basically in our four and our six, there was a ORAN ONAP harmonization use case. And the idea of that use case is there's nine working groups in ORAN with O1 and A1. O1 and A1 labels. So the O1 is all of the FCAPS types interfaces, and A1 is the interface to the real-time RIC and non-real-time RIC. And so there was a focus to try to harmonize the things coming out of there. They're also being driven by 3GPP standards, and they're trying to define a set of essentially documents that to try to unify how these FCAP and O1 management things will behave. So there was a big focus on O1 in R6 and A1. There was essentially no A1 done in R6, and then in R7 now we're looking to do the A1 stuff. So this A1 adapter interface capability, let me see. So this requirement enhances the A1 adapter interface capabilities provided in release 6 as part of the 5G ORAN and 3GPP standards harmonization requirement. And ORAN has defined an A1 interface specification in the context of the management of 5G RAN elements to provide intent-based policies for the optimization of RAN network performance. So again, from what I understand, this use case, and maybe Stu is on the call, you might know more about, or might be able to say some words about this use case.
John here, actually, I can.
Oh yeah, great, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So the Michaela and myself will be driving this use case. It's to basically extend, you know, as it says there, to extend the A1 adapter functionality that was started in Frankfurt. I'm just putting together the requirements and the wiki pages on it now. We went through the Archcom yesterday, so the idea being to extend it to support the specification version of A1 and to add some A1 policy management functionality in the controller. So then it can be used by other ONAP functions the same as any of the other controllers.
So at the end of this, ONAP will essentially be viewed kind of like a real-time RIC, right? Is that?
It depends. There's a lot of work on this has happened already in OSC, in the ORAN source community. The view in OSC is that ORAN should form the basis of an SMO, which is the service management and orchestration layer in the ORAN architecture. And one of the functions of that being the non-real-time RIC, which handles the A1 interface. The non-real-time RIC then as a kind of a logical function at the most high level slogan level kind of architecture would handle stuff like the A1 management, the applications that would use the A1 interface, and that would extend the ML management in the RAN functions as well. And yes, there's a few other tasks beyond just A1 management, but one of the key inherent functions of the non-real-time RIC would be to handle A1 functionality, which this would add.
And how are these related, if at all, to, I hear the word XApps. Is that like a thing that's...
XApps refer to the microservice that would run in the near real-time RIC, which is the function down in the RAN, which is a different thing altogether. Here we're talking about the SMO layer functionality. Yeah, we're starting to introduce a concept called RApps, which would be quite analogous to have applications running in the SMO, similar to ONAP use cases or ONAP closed loops, maybe that would run in the SMO. But again, that's an OSC concept rather than ONAP. The functionality here is to add platform support.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jan, go ahead.
Yeah,
I have a question. So the CNPS will be support to the A1 interface in the ONAP, right? Current release, G release. So in the ORAN OSC, you had a database so-called policy agent. So the policy agent, when you put into ONAP, will be part of the, will be consolidation part of the CNPS?
No, it will be not initially. It will be consolidated into CCSDK as an SDNC, starting off anyway as an SDNC microservice until we get it better consolidated into the ONAP architecture. We don't yet have a concrete idea how, but obviously some of the information in the A1 policy management part of the controller would need to maintain state, and we would see that perhaps the CNPS will be one place to put that information.
Okay. And can you say some words about how this A1 extension policy work would use the CNPS database? What kind of information would you store there? And
that's still for study during Greenland timeframe. To be honest, I can make some off the top of my head, which is probably a bad idea. But the actual A1 policies themselves need to be synchronized with the RAN. So you'd need to have some information about the types of the policies and which near real-time RICs would hold, which policies have been sent to which near real-time RICs in the RAN, and maintain a kind of a synchronized view of those. But like I say, this is still very, very early moment. At the moment, there's no persistency. So one of the things that we need to look at in the Greenland timeframe is maybe using this CNPS for storing that information, making it persistent.
Okay.
So, John, maybe. For Ben tomorrow presentation, don't want to conflict message, right? So this use case, you're going to be in the G release, right? And you say you're going to have the a policy agent onboarding to CDS, right?
No, SDNC currently. We're also examining CDS, but SDNC currently.
SDNC for the policy agent?
Yes, yeah.
So policy agent is going to onboarding SDNC instead of policy, right? Okay. So
yes,
So then that information, if we say when we the CPS say the time being delivered, right? We were asked to provide the A1 adapter interface. It is currently policy agent will hold information related to the A1 attribute will put in the CPS. So we are matching to that information. We just make sure when Ben's tomorrow do presentation, we're going in that direction. If we change, we can change a little bit of implementation.
Yeah.
That's our initial proposal. Just make sure, okay.
Well, this is why I put these at the end of the presentation. So it just gives people a view of kind of how CNPS could be associated with these different other initiatives, just to show that. Yeah, the main purpose of these is to show that we're focused on network element management data and other non ONAP platform management type data. So I think that's the main message here. So,
But please bear in mind, it's still very, very early. We haven't really thought this out very well. Sure. It's a tentative, unconfirmed, maybe with lots of other.
Yeah. That's why it's the very, very last slide. So, okay. All right, very good. I will also see if I can find, we need to find something probably for the state management. I don't know that if Bruno had something, but there was a thing that Bruno had about state management, so we can just at least mention it. Okay, we're over time. Any last thoughts from anybody before we close? Okay, thank you so much for letting me run over. And I thought this was a really good discussion and hope you found this useful. All right, thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you.